sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see a big storm in the barrow. Yeah, that's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. Yeah, yeah, that's why I'm easy. Yeah, I'm easy like Sunday morning.
So it's Sunday again, and we're back, and it's either late morning or early afternoon whenever I decide to post this thing. Joining me on this episode of the Sunday Show, and I just feel so relaxed and so peaceful, but let's see. Joining me on this episode is a very, very lovely gentleman, someone who I've grown to love very much in the podcasting community. From Jacket Audio itself, the one, the only, Joey T. Sir.
Oh, thank God there's only one. The world doesn't need more of this.
It needs plenty more of that, sir. Plenty more of you.
Who'd have thought you'd say such kind things after all these years?
Well, you started.
A tumultuous start.
Yeah, tumultuous start, to say the least, yes. Joey Michael T. Jayden. Epic fail.
Michael J. didn't like a lot of the things that I said. And would call me out constantly on Twitter for my... the hashtag that he used was Joey T. Epic Fail for whatever I said wrong, did wrong, that he didn't like.
Well, let's...
You were so brutal to me.
Let's just say this, and if Tony, your Jacket Audio cohort, is listening, and I'm wrong in any of this, he can correct it at a later time. He had started a website called The Marston House back in 2010, and I believe, was it 2009? No, it might have been the beginning of 2010, maybe late 2009. And it was a horror-themed website. So this is before I started podcasting. And he started this website, and it was going to be horror news and things like that. And I was going to maybe go to conventions, get pictures, all that stuff. and do like news and updates, all that stuff for the site. And, right. You know, I said to him, I'm like, well, why don't we do like a podcast type thing? Because he had that, you know, the T-Mac show that he did when he was younger.
Right.
So I said, well, why don't, you know, we can maybe get something going. He's like, I don't think I want to do that. I don't really feel like it, or whatever. Done with the pod, whatever, all that stuff. Don't want to do it. And, you know, so that's fine. He didn't want to do it. Lo and behold, 4 years later, you know, well, then, so then I started doing the podcast thing and he went on his merry way, you know, whatever. So 4 years later, you come into the picture. I believe you were there before, but then you weren't there, and then you came back in, and you proposed Jacket Audio, or that, you know, started it, and he said yes to you, but he said a big fat no to me, and I think that in my brain, that was the, you know, the beginning of, I was bred to hate you at that point.
If it makes you feel any better, and I don't know if Tony ever said anything to you, or if I'm out of line by saying this, he actually, when I asked him, because I started listening to podcasts, started off with the Smodco Network, with listening to Kevin Smith's, was it Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, Smodcast, and Tell Him Steve Dave. And the Tell Him Steve Dave guys do their show at the Secret Stash in Red Bank, New Jersey. So when I would listen to their show, I'm like, God, if Jacket Video was still around, this would be good. We would totally be doing this right now. So it didn't even click in my head that we could do a podcast until almost 6 or 8 months of binge listening Tell Him Steve Dave.
Oh, boy.
Which Tell Him Steve Dave is still the only podcast that I've listened to every episode.
You never miss it.
No. I mean, I was late to the game because I think they started in 10 or 11, and I didn't start listening until 12 or 13.
So you're like for 2 years, like they had already been gone by for 2 years, and then you started.
Yeah, so it took me probably about a year to listen to every episode and get up to date. Like I listened to all the stuff pre Comic Book Men, pre Impractical Jokers, them starting to hint at those shows. That they were in like pre-production or, you know, their negotiations with networks.
Right.
So that was weird, like, to hear it before, yeah, you know, to hear all that behind-the-scenes stuff after the fact. But then eventually I was just like, well, if they could do this, why can't we do this? And I started checking out prices of equipment and whatnot. And then I went to Tony, and I left a message.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even get back to me right away. And then he calls me, like, the next day, and I tell him, you know, here's what I would like. I'm like, I think we would do pretty well at this. And he's like, well, what do you want to call it? And when I said Jacket Audio, I think that's what I think I tugged at his heartstrings on that one.
I'm sure you did.
Since that was, you know, Jacket Video was his baby for years.
Right.
And he's like, but even then, he still didn't even commit right away. But you could tell I sparked his interest, and he's like, I don't know. He's like, these aren't the exact words, but he did say something to the effect of, I don't know if I should do this. I had a friend of mine ask me to do a podcast, and I feel a little weird saying no to him, but now I'm saying yes. I want to say yes to you.
Well, maybe I should have changed the name. You know, maybe instead of, like, the Marston House that he did. I mean, that was named after something from Salem's Lot. Maybe I should have called the podcast or said the podcast would be called the Jacket House or something like that. You know what I mean? And then That way, maybe using Jacket in the title, we're there.
You might have had him. I don't know. I kind of feel like that would piqued his interest, but I'm not 100% sure. But he did hesitate, and he did say it was because you had asked him, and he wasn't sure. He said, yeah, like it sounded like he was felt a little guilty saying yes to me after saying no to you.
Right. And that, I mean, well, he didn't feel guilty for that long, I take it, because he jumped right on the bandwagon. And but, I mean, I got to tell you, it's a good combination. It was a good combination from the start. I was just like, who is this guy? What is he doing here? Is he trying to be Michael J? Because if he's trying to be Michael J, he just can't do it. He's not me. It's not possible.
No. And I definitely don't know anything about horror.
Well,
I would never be able to pull off the conversations that you two would be able to talk about. Like, I just even look around in the studio, and there's all this horror stuff all over the place. And I'm like, I never saw this. I never saw that. I never heard of this. I never heard of that. It's just, I don't know. I was never yeah. my thing.
And that's another thing. I've only seen the studio via Skype. I've never seen it in person. Oh my God. That right there, that hurts. It just hurts. Oh boy.
You all right, pal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just... Wow. Wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we should definitely do an episode with you in.
Well,
I think that would be a lot more fun.
Well, see, I told him what we could do, because back in the days of Jacket Audio, I mean Jacket Video, at least when I was there, we would get Chinese food, and I would get General Tso's. And I would make a mess of myself with the fried rice. I would, like, let it go all over. He just did not like that at all. And
you're never going to be allowed in.
I told him. I said, we could do one in, we can do one where I come in the studio, and then I'll have General Tso's, and I can eat during the show. And he says, no, you're out on that guy. You're out on that guy. Or...
He might not even let you in his house and eat.
Well, or there was the time that I was drinking, what was it? Hot chocolate from 7-Eleven. And we were behind the counter. I forget. We were watching some movie. And I started laughing so hysterically hard that I vomited.
Oh, all no.
And
are
he
you
was
serious?
Sitting, he was sitting in his chair. And I started like... he dive bombed behind the chair. And he's just like, what? You know, like the look on his face was like, what did you do to yourself? I'm like, oh. It got to the point where it was all over my clothes. I had to have my brother, because I lived like maybe a half hour away from Jacket. My brother had to drive up with different clothes because we were going to a Chinese buffet afterwards, I believe, like when the store closed. So my brother actually had to drive up with new clothes for me to change into, because I got puke all over myself.
Michael J, oh no.
And on the floor, too. That got sprayed with rubbing alcohol all over. Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, God.
See, this is the stuff that I'd like to talk about on Jacket Audio, but I don't know, you know, because this is, you know, that was my Jacket experiences, or at least two of them.
Oh, yeah, it would be good. Screw it. We could be sharing the stories here. Yeah. Now, did you play poker when you would go up?
I had no interest in poker whatsoever. I sat there and, like, sometimes, because he got the poker table in the back room, and I would sit there and I'd be like, like, I don't know exactly what they're doing. And I think at one point he tried to explain it to me, but I just didn't get it. And I just sat there. And I just sat there. It was boring. And then, like, on days when he would only watch football, oh my God, I hated that, too. How the hell did you do it? Because you're not a football person. How did you do it?
Well, I didn't really watch too much football at the store. The only time we really, I watched Football with Tony was in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. Red Lobster used to have an all-you-can-eat crab night.
Oh, boy.
So it was Monday nights. We would probably... I know I did it. I'm 90% sure he did it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't eat breakfast or lunch. And then I'd pick him up. We'd go over to Red Lobster and just gorge.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know, let's say it's like $20, which is pretty much $20-$25 is usually the average for a pound of crab legs, right, even today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would get it. We would eat at least 5 pounds each. Like, it was, we just scarfed them down. We would see tables, like, come and go, mm-hmm, and we'd still be sitting there eating. It was great. And then we'd go back to his house and watch Monday Night Football. Usually a couple other people would come over. And that's where I used to play football with friends in the neighborhood, but it was a couple of guys who just threw the ball around and hit each other.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't really know the rules that well, but I learned most of the game in that season, whatever year that was, mm-hmm, from just watching Monday Night Football with him.
Aw. Yeah, see, at least you could, like I said, I couldn't, because I would come up there on days, because like when I would work, my work was right across the street from Jacket, basically. So I would go in and I would work from like 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, and then I would leave work and I would go to Jacket. And, I remember one day I came up at like, I guess, for opening at 10 a.m., and he was there that day too. I guess maybe I took the day off and I didn't realize it was a Monday. Or, you know, just he had like football stuff on the DVR, and oh my God, the entire day just football. Now I like a little more now, you know, than I did back then. But even now, I only watch the Eagles, and that's it.
It's even that, I don't even care. I think it doesn't. I don't know. I didn't even. I got into it. You know, I watched the playoffs last year with the Eagles just because, and that was fun to watch. And it was exciting because they won a Super Bowl. But that excitement level did not carry over for me into this season. It's, I don't know, football was never my thing. I grew up a huge baseball fan.
Mm.
And I love the Phillies, always have, even the teams that sucked, because my earliest memory is them winning the World Series against the Kansas City Royals in 1980. So to me, yeah, the Phillies were winners.
Right.
And then they made it back to the World Series in 83, and then there was that crappy stretch until 93, and then they were winners that, well, almost won it. They made it to the World Series.
Right.
But I don't know, that was the one I stuck with. And then probably 6th, 7th grade, I got into ice hockey. My old man was at, I was up in my bedroom. He's downstairs watching the Flyers versus the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And he's like, yo, come down here. You got to watch this. And I didn't know what he was talking about. So I go down and he's watching hockey.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the first time I remember him really sitting down and watching. And he's like, you got to see this. This is one of the greatest teams ever. I'm like, oh, the Flyers are that good? He's like, no, the Oilers. And this was that team that had Gretzky and Jari Kurri, Kevin Lowe, Glenn Anderson, Grant Fuhr in net. And I watched that, and I was immediately hooked.
And from then on.
Yeah, so those are the only two sports I can get into. Now, luckily, yeah, that was what we would watch at Jacket, was hockey. He had the NHL, whatever, the packages through DirecTV back then.
Mm-hmm.
And that was neat because there were no commercials. So you'd hear, like, the announcers would still be on mic, and they would just sit there BSing in between, you know, when they would have commercial breaks for the regular network TV. You'd just hear those guys talking. I'm like, oh, this is neat.
Wow. So kind of like a peek behind the scenes, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's like that now. I don't have enough time to sit down and watch a billion hockey games to pay for a package like that.
Right.
But that was neat.
Yeah, speaking of that, I mean, you not having time, I mean, you have 3 daughters. So you live in a house with all women.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that. I really have no idea.
It's not that bad. The oldest, we have a few things in common, a little bit here, a little bit there with movies and music and whatnot. But she shares the same sense of humor that I do. So we could talk and break each other's stones and everything's cool.
Right.
And then the next kid, we probably have a little bit more in common, but we're alike. So there'll be times where we just butt heads because we're so much alike. Mm. And then the youngest, she might be the easiest going person I've ever met on the face of the earth. And she's my little jock. So she played softball for years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of our bonding thing. But, yeah, dude, it's cool. And you know what? I don't know if I ever mentioned this story. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's
speaking
okay.
of being daughters and whatnot. All 3 of them are dancers. Yeah, they've been taking dance lessons. All of them started when they were like 3 or 4. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm sitting in my car in the parking lot of the dance studio.
And that is, you know, that's dedication to, you know, come onto a podcast sitting in your car. Yes.
Definitely. Hey, any opportunity to get to talk to you? I mean, we've only hung out once.
Yes.
And then other than that, it's mostly, you know, the couple times you're on Jacket and then social media interaction. Mm-hmm. So when you asked me, I was like, all right, we'll figure out a way to get this done. We'll definitely get it done.
Yeah.
But you know what? Years ago, a buddy of mine, he said to me, he had a daughter. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know what? He's like, it's so much easier this way. He's like, I think if I had a son, I'd feel pressure to, like, do more manly things. He's like, this way with girls, he's like, everything I do looks manly. I'm like, that's a great way of looking at it. And I've always had that in the back of my head.
Right.
So with these kids.
So, like, your own personal, like, ego boost, in a sense. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, I would let them do my hair. I would let my hair grow out every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, like, kind of have that Kurt Cobain look, I don't know, for lack of a better description. So they would practice braiding on my hair.
No, they
do whatever.
Really?
Sure.
Oh, I wish you had pictures of that. I would love to see that.
I might. I'll if I can find any. I'll
that,
send them to you.
Yeah,
you
that would be something.
It has to exist somewhere. Makeup. I would let them do that. Nails. Can I do your nails? Yeah, go ahead. Well, the worst, my youngest, she was like 2 or 3, had a seizure.
Oh.
So she ended up in the hospital for 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was, like, after about 48 hours, she seemed to be, like, getting back to normal, but she still wasn't quite there.
Right.
But, so then she's like, Dad, can I do your nails? I'm like, oh, God, I don't have any nail polish. So I called the wife, because we took turns staying at the hospital, because, yeah, we had to take care of the other 2 kids, too.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, when I come down, I'll bring some. She brings the nail polish down, and the little one does my nails up. And, like, every time a nurse or doctor would come in and check on her, she'd be like, look at my dad's nails. Look at my dad's nails. I'm like, oh, God, no. You got to stop.
Oh, my God. Can I just call you world's greatest dad? I mean, seriously, I don't know any other guy that would do that, really.
And it's funny. I'm actually surprised by that because I've had a few other guys say, you let them do that? Yeah, I don't care. That's what they make nail polish remover for.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. But I did make the mistake one time. They did my hands and my feet, and it was the winter time. Mm-hmm. And we were going to Great Wolf Lodge. Did you ever
That's see the Poconos, right? Is it the Poconos?
It's somewhere up that way, but they have an indoor water park.
Oh, okay.
So before we left, I got the nail polish off my hands. Mm-hmm. So then we all get in the car and we drive up. And then, as soon as you get into your room, it's like, we want to go to the water park, we're going to go to the water park. Okay. So I get the change, put my bathing suit on, and I look down. I'm like, oh, no, I never took the nail polish off my feet.
Oh, no. I didn't realize they did your toes, too. Wow.
They did that, and no nail polish remover. Nobody had it. The wife didn't have it. My brother-in-law, he was there, and his wife didn't have any. I'm like, so for the next 3 days, I walked around this indoor water park with brightly colored toenails.
Oh, you didn't get, like, water shoes or something like that. Or no, wait, they're not they're not covered. That's still sandals, right? That's right.
You walked around this place, like, I was barefoot most of the time in there because it was so hot. It was, because the hotel is connected to the water park, and it almost felt humid in there. The place is cool. It was fun. But, yeah, I had to walk around for a weekend with toenail polish on.
Oh, my God. Really? The things you do for your kids, I just... There's nobody. 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 Oh. Wow.
Yeah. It feels like it sometimes. Like, what do you... Yeah. Guys at work. Yeah, you want to go out for a beer? Nah, I can't tonight. We're a good kid guy dance class. Yep. Every night. Almost every night. But...
Weekends, too? Well, weekends are...
Yeah. This year, it changes every year. And the dance schedule runs pretty much the same as the school year. So for this year, it's every day except Friday and Saturday, which is nice. But then Sunday, they're here on Sunday.
Oh.
And it's one kid's got it at 2, and one kid's got a class at 5. So your Sunday's shot. You can't do anything.
Oh.
So that usually just ends up being the day we do stuff around the house, catch up on whatever, yard work, laundry, cleaning, et cetera,
oh.
So needless to say, I hate Sundays.
Yeah.
It's the worst day.
Worst day. I agree with you there. It is the worst day of the week. Oh, worst day.
And you're back to the grind on Monday. It's like, it sucks.
Yeah. So speaking of that, though, you also, and I know you, I'm going back a little bit, but Smodcast, you said, you know, you listen to. So you obviously must be, like myself, a huge Kevin Smith fan.
Dude, I've loved Kevin Smith since Clerks. I worked in a bookstore at the Chamonix Mall, and I came into work one day, and this guy's like, dude, you gotta see this movie, Clerks. He's like, it's black and white. The guy's from Jersey. He sold his whole comic book. He knew the whole backstory. I'm like, cool, sounds great. And at the time, the only place in the area that had it was the Ritz in Philadelphia.
Right. Oh, so it was still in the theater when you found, when you heard about it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I took the check down. It was actually that day. I'm like, I got off work, found it was playing at the whatever time, and it went down. I was blown away. Because I watched the whole time, and I'm like, if me and my friends were actually ambitious,
mm-hmm.
that would have been the movie that I would make. Like, that was, it was, it had hockey, it had Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
it had, you know, girlfriend problems, you know, it was just that, yeah, it blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. I'm like, this is my life. This is it. And I was working some crappy minimum wage job,
mm-hmm.
trying to have fun with your friends, and yeah, dude, oh, I loved it. So I was immediately hooked. And then Mallrats, Chasing Amy, the whole thing. So I guess a little bit after Chasing Amy came out, that was kind of when the internet started becoming more of a thing.
Right.
And there's a guy that, you know, we talk about on Jacket. We call him Stunning Steve. He was the first person I knew that had a computer or stuff. And so he looked up all the places in Jersey where Kevin Smith filmed. So we went to the Secret Stash. We went to Quick Stop, and RSD Video was still open.
Oh, was it?
And it was great that we walk in. We're like, can we open a membership? Like, do you live around here? Like, no. Like, can we just give you a membership card so you can show your friends? Like, yeah, that's cool.
Oh, man.
So then I ended up buying, I forget what I bought. I bought some DVD or VHS. I don't even remember what I bought. But since they were nice enough to be like, here, we'll give you a membership card. I'm like, all right, you know, throw a few bucks in there.
Mm-hmm.
We drove past the train station from Chasing Amy, which actually wasn't a train station. It was just some building next to train tracks.
Really?
Made it look like, yeah. Drove past the playground where Holden and Alyssa had their conversation of about losing your virginity. What constitutes right. losing your virginity? Drove past that playground. Yeah, I have to find the pictures. But this is like, yeah, this is 96, 97. So the pictures, we took them from across, like in front of the Quick Stop, we took them from across the street so you could get the whole building in there. So like, me and Stunning Steve, like the pictures look blurry. Mm-hmm. Since we're staying, like the pictures are so far away, the cameras weren't as good back then. But you can tell it's us and you know where we're at. So that's a fun thing to have. But I wanted to go up last week. I saw on Twitter or Instagram, I forget which one Kevin Smith posted on.
I think it's set to go both of them or something, because I see it on Twitter all the time.
Okay. That he was recording, or he was filming at the Quick Stop. So I called JD Cam. I'm like, yo, road trip? And he's like, I can't. I forget what he had going on. So I was going to, I don't know. I've driven up there once by myself. I'm like, I really want to go to the Secret Stash. And I just headed on up. That's what, like an hour, a little over an hour ride away.
Yeah. No, I went, because I've been there. What is it, Secret Stash? I don't think RST was open when I went. And then I went to that Jack's Music Shop. I think that was from Chasing Amy, right?
Yes, I forgot about Jack's. Yeah, that's right across the street from the Stash.
Right, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I got a picture. I got it. I haven't been able to find it. I have a picture of me and Steve sitting on the step where Banky and Holden were sitting after Banky shows up at the Bank Hold Up Studios. I catch it, Affleck and Joey Lauren Adams. I'm like, that was fun. We actually, Steve and I, that time we went up there because Brian O'Halloran was doing a stage show. I have no idea. I forget everything about the show except it was supposed to take place in Ireland. Everybody spoke with an Irish accent. I want to say it was at Monmouth College, Monmouth University, one of them.
Right.
And we saw him outside, and we both kind of, like, he was with, like, a group of people. He was standing outside with, like, five or six people. And me and Steve kind of froze. Mm-hmm. I never had the guts to go talk to him. I think if he was by himself, it would have been like, hey, can we get an autograph or a picture or whatever. But he was with a lot of people. I'm like, I'm not interrupting whatever, because they were all talking and whatnot. So I didn't have any desire to interrupt that one.
Right.
I'd stand out. Hey, you're the guy who played Dante. Can I get a picture? Like, I couldn't do it.
He's and wasn't he also in that other, he was in Vulgar too, right? He played the clown.
Am I right?
Yeah, that's it. That movie. Oof.
That was one I didn't finish.
This day, you have not watched it, or have you finally finished it?
No, I never finished it. It was a tough watch. I think I you know what, I should pull it out now. Because again, you know, Brian Johnson was just the guy that, you know, yelled at Brody in Mallrats. So he was, you know, he wasn't anybody that I thought was what's the word? Entertaining,
right?
You know, yeah. He was like, I looked at it more of, look, it's one of Kevin Smith's friends. He's got him hooked up with a movie, so I should pull that out and check it out, see if I like it better now.
Yeah, it's been a while since, you know, I think I only watched it once, and then I let somebody borrow the DVD, and I never saw it again, so.
Ah, no.
Yeah. So I have to actually get another copy. I was hoping I'd get a Blu-ray by now, but obviously not, so.
Did they release it on Blu-ray?
No. And believe me, if they did, I would definitely know about it, and I would have had it by now if it was.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's in print on DVD. I feel like if there was an episode of Tom Steve Day where they said it's out of print.
Oh, it has to be by now, I would think. Definitely, without a doubt. Did, what else was I going to, A Better Place. That was another one. Who did that one? Was that...
Oh, God.
Ethan Suplee?
He was in that.
He was in it, but I don't know. He didn't like direct it or write it or anything. Who was that?
Yeah, was that Vincent Pereira?
That's it. Yeah. That's it. What do you think of that one? Do you like that one, or is that kind of like?
It was okay, and I didn't see that until me and JD Cam went to Vulgarthon last year.
Oh, that was the first time you saw it. I thought that you might have seen it before that point.
No, I had never. I could never find a copy of it, and then I just kind of forgot about it.
Right.
Because I figured, like, nobody, you never really heard anybody talk about that movie. So I'm like, well, you know what? If it's not something that I'm hearing too much about, then it must not be that good. And it was. It was all right. I watched it once. It was cool. You know,
I don't think one you could revisit.
I could live the rest of my life and never see another minute of that movie.
And well, Drawing Flies, that was another one. That's one I have to watch again because I don't think I ever finished that one either. But I know Jason Lee was in it, and that's the main reason that I picked it up.
Yeah, same here. And I owned that one, and that was another one. I started it, just like Vulgar. I started it, never finished it, and they showed that at the Vulgarthon this year. And, again, I'm happy I saw it, but it wasn't anything, like, there wasn't anything that special about it. I don't even know if I would tell you to waste, you know, spend your time on it. There's plenty of other better films out there if you were going to take a couple hours to watch a film.
So, wait, so Vulgarthon, basically now, you know, I've never been to that, but that basically showcases Kevin's films and, like, films of his friends? so to speak, or is it just, like, what is the, what's the deal?
Well, this year was the 20th anniversary. Well, 2018 was the 20th anniversary. And they'd done, like, 7 years in a row, and then they stopped. So, as far as I could tell, it was, I think he was a producer on the other two. So it was Clark's Mallrats Chasing Amy and Drawing Flies and A Better Place. So I want to say he was the producer on the other two. He had enough success with those three movies that some movie studio was like, hey, we'll give you a budget to produce something. And, you know, the friends that he had made, the friends that he had scripts, and he was like, all right, well, you know, let's get this made. And that was it, which I find odd, because this, all right, so for the anniversary, they did the same five movies that they did for the original Vulgarthon, and they didn't play Vulgar, which I thought was weird, because it was the Vulgarthon was named after Brian Johnson's movie.
Right.
But it wasn't featured at this marathon.
It's kind of strange.
And now that I think about it, I wonder why nobody asked that question. Because I didn't even think about it at the time. I was just like, all right, yeah, there's Kevin Smith standing there talking to us.
Vulgarthon was after he had the heart attack, right?
Yes. And I think if I remember right, he had said something about it. He's like, you know what? He's like, and it was on his birthday.
Oh, right.
So it was kind of like, you know, let's bring this back. Let's have a birthday celebration in the town where it all started, where his roots are. Mm. So he came back east on his, his 48th birthday, I think he said.
48th, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
God, that silent Bob's almost 50.
I know. That's, oh, man.
It's ridiculous.
Wow. I can't believe it. But on that note, let's take a quick break, Joe, and we will be right back.
All right.
This'll keep you quiet.
Oh, hi there. I didn't see you. You caught me cutting a new show. I'm Bo Ransdell, and I'm one of the many creators you can find on Legion Podcasts. I said quiet! My fellow podcasters and I work hard to bring you the best in horror podcasting, but that comes at a cost.
What's that?
Not that, but also, yes. No, what I'm getting at is that there are server costs, costs for good microphones and software for editing, all the things that make our shows, you know, fun to listen to. And you can help. If you're enjoying the shows on legionpodcasts.com or in the Legion Network available on iTunes and Stitcher, just about anywhere you can download a podcast, really, you can help us out and get a little something for your trouble at patreon.com/legionpodcasts. For just $2 a month, you get a pair of movie commentaries exclusive to Patreon, and for $5, you can also join us for a monthly screening of a movie. All of that available on patreon.com/legionpodcasts. We appreciate it, and thank you for listening. Now, back to the cutting room.
Thank you.
what they told me. A man should be faithful and walk when not able and fight till the end, but I'm only human.
Does that song sound familiar, Joe?
That's where the bromance started.
Yes.
That was Michael Jackson, Will You Be There?
Yeah.
The song that took all the Joey T epic fails and turned you around.
Yeah,
it went from the animosity, the hatred for me stealing the guy you wanted as your podcast partner.
Yes. And, you know, it's weird because I do think how things might have been different if things did start with him. I have a feeling it would have been a lot less tumultuous at my end. But you live and you learn, and it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? We're all in this together.
Yeah.
Support each other. Yeah, we gotta rise above. We gotta start taking down the Kevin Smiths and the Joe Rogans and the... God, I was going to say Chris Hardwick, but I think that mighty podcaster has fallen.
Oh, wait, he's not back yet? I thought because they found him innocent or something that they reinstated him or whatever. Because I know, wait, he's doing Talking Dead again, isn't he?
I heard he was, but I haven't... He was everywhere.
Right.
He was everywhere for so long.
Mm.
But I don't hear it. Like, I heard he was getting reinstated, but then... I haven't seen anything. I don't watch The Walking Dead.
No, I don't either. Not anymore.
So I don't know. And I really don't watch anything on AMC now. The comic book men's cancer. So I guess I wouldn't really see any commercials if it was on. But I don't. I did look into. He's not Nerdist anymore. What's he called? What's the show? ID10T. And he has had a few episodes over the last couple months, but it's not with the regularity that he had before.
Mm.
But I just wanted to take a shot at the big guys, you know. Because that's little guys. We got to make our way up. Screw those guys.
They
got enough money on their hands.
Exactly. They definitely
do. But did you get a chance? I haven't seen it yet. Since we bonded over Michael Jackson. Did you get a chance to see that documentary that's on HBO right now?
I want to watch it. I just haven't watched it yet because I heard that it's 4 hours long, or it's 3 or 4 hours long, and somebody said that it just, you know, it just drags. And they said like something that takes like, I think it takes like 35 minutes to get into like how the actual abuse started, and then it goes And it's like by the end of the first hour or two, you're just like barely scratching the surface.
Are you serious? That sounds awful.
I heard, I don't know how true it is, but I heard, I guess they screened it at Sundance or something like that. And
yeah.
Obviously because it's so long, they had to have an intermission. And I heard something that they had to have therapists on hand to counsel the audience.
Is that nuts? Did I hear the same thing? I'm like, how bad? Like, how graphic could they get? And eventually I'd like to check this thing out.
Right.
But did they really, like, get into that much detail?
I mean, really, there's no footage. What can they show? You know, it's all audio.
Yeah.
It's all, you know.
Yeah, see, I don't know, man. I'm always one for a good conspiracy theory. Whether I believe them or not, I do find them to be entertaining, and I think, like, a lot of this Michael Jackson stuff could fall under that realm.
Right.
I just feel like if you're that messed up, if your life has been ruined that badly,
ugh,
would you really want to take or make just pour your heart out on film like that for 4 hours?
Ugh.
I don't know. I just find that I'm a little jaded on the situation.
I mean,
it wouldn't shock me. I mean, all signs point, because of his bizarre behavior, all signs point to him being a child molester.
Right.
But he's never been convicted. There's names who have admitted to being abused. Like Corey Feldman, who spent a lot of time hanging out with Michael Jackson in the 80s, has admitted that him and Corey Haim were sexually abused as children. But he's also come out and said Michael Jackson wasn't one of those people that did it. Jackson's been dead almost 10 years.
Right. Oh, God.
He has nothing to lose by pointing a finger at him now.
Right.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? He did do this. If someone like Corey Feldman's willing to come forward and go, you know, this did happen to me, I don't know if I don't know. And then these guys, sometimes I feel like it's a cash grab.
Right.
I read a book, and now I can't remember the name of the book, but it was, the author was Ian Halpern. So he's got a few books out. Which the other one I read was called Who Killed Kurt? And it was a story about Kurt Cobain's death. But this book, the Halpern actually started the book off saying that he wanted to write the story of Michael Jackson and nail him to the wall. He's like, I wanted to dig deep and prove that this guy was guilty. You know, he thought that he was being forgiven. I don't know what the right word is, but he was getting a pass because of how big of a celebrity he is. And he said in his research, he found nothing conclusive to say that Michael Jackson had ever touched a child.
That's bizarre.
One of the families that Jackson paid off, and I forget which one because I think there was a couple of payoffs, but one of them was actually found guilty of trying to, they faked an injury at a store. And if I remember right, it was like a JCPenney.
Uh-huh.
It was a family of con artists. So they were trying to say that, so-and-so got hurt in the store, you owe us money, and, you know, I guess through security cameras or whatnot, the store was actually able to prove that, you know, that whatever the incident was, didn't even happen. See, like, this family has a history of trying to milk money for people. But against Michael Jackson's lawyer's wishes, mm-hmm. he's like, just give them what they want. Give them money. Give these people money. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I can't take it. You know, it was stressing them out.
Yeah, but if he was innocent, then why would you, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would you just give in if you're not guilty?
I don't know. I think it might have been a stress thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been a long time since I read this book. This book came out shortly after he died, when he died. I think it was 2009, right?
Yeah, I think it was June of 2009 that he died.
Okay. So it's probably been about 9 years. I would say this book came out in 10. So it's been a long time, and I only read it once. Mm-hmm. But if memory serves me right, like, it was a stress thing. Like, he said, I don't want to deal with this. Just pay these people to leave me alone.
And do you think that's what caused him to get, you know, in with the fentanyl and all the other medications that kind of, like, you know, just because he couldn't deal with the stress of, you know, all this stuff or whatever?
I think that was part of it, but the pain, like, I think it started the painkillers, and I want to say he touched on this in this book. I think it was Alfred's book, but I know I read somewhere that he started relying a lot on painkillers with that Pepsi commercial when his hair caught on fire. And apparently, I don't remember it being played up like exactly how bad that injury was.
Right.
So I think it was worse than they said it was in the media. And so that's where the reliance on painkillers started, and I think it just... He was so dependent on it that he had to go with stronger and stronger doses.
Right.
And then I'm sure his body, God, the things he could pull off on stage, I'm sure he had to be a hurting pup after every show.
Yeah, probably.
Why not? Could you imagine? And if he didn't do these things and you got the whole world against you, I'm sure you'd be like, the doctor drug me up. Give me the best you got.
Exactly, yep. Knock me out.
Yeah. So, but I don't know, man. Like, we're grown men. And these people say, I slept in his bed. Like, and that supposedly happened. Again, and that was in the book. Like, you know, he did have these sleepovers with kids. It's like, you're not doing yourself any favor by doing these things.
No. And I don't understand why, like, it's just, how do you even do that? Like, I don't even understand the psychology behind, you know, why someone would even want that, I guess. It's just, I don't know.
You get starstruck? I can't imagine, if you've listened to Jacket Audio, you'll know that I am a huge Mike Patton fan, the singer from Faith No More and Mr. Bungle.
Right.
If Mike Patton came to me and said, hey, I want your kids to sleep at my house tonight. Is that cool? No, Mike. No. That's not happening.
Yeah, see, you know limits. You know boundaries. What is with these parents? I don't understand.
Maybe they think, he would be the bridge to becoming a celebrity themselves. Like, they could get into acting or music or something. That he, Michael Jackson was the biggest star on the planet. I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing that I could think of.
Yeah.
But it doesn't... Any normal person would have to say no to that.
Right.
Or, even just to go over to that Neverland Ranch. Oh, I'm going to have some kids over, you know? Okay, sure, but I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm not just dropping my kid off at your house.
Right, you know? No, definitely not. You know. So, well, how has this affected you with him? Are you able to... I mean, I don't know if you listened to a lot of his catalog to begin with.
you know.
I did as a kid. I even as I started listening to like more heavier music, more rock music, I still have like the secret stash of tapes that I wouldn't let. They wouldn't be on display. Like they'd be in a nightstand somewhere.
Right.
So as I was getting into Faith No More, I still had like Band and Thriller hidden away. They weren't on the on display on the shelf like the other CDs and tapes were. But eventually I did stop listening entirely.
Really?
Yeah. Because I thought he was guilty. I'm like, I can't do it. I think, I can't separate, if you are like messed up enough to do that, like that bleeds into your art. Like I don't care how good of a musician you are.
Right.
It's still like if you're a child molester, that's still a part of your art. That's because you created that. Like an example, Queens of the Stone Age. I think they kicked out their bass player because he hit his girlfriend. And Josh Homme, the singer, said, he's like, no, he's like, if that's who you are, that's in your music. And he's like, I can't have that. Which now, as I'm saying this, that's pretty funny after he kicked that photographer in the face about a year ago.
Oh,
so he's a hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Crazy people.
Hold on a second. I'm a little distracted. I got a kid texting me. She's asking me where I'm at in the parking lot. This parking lot's not even that big. But she's like, where you at? So I mean, I listen to him now. It's not a regular basis, but every once in a while, it's, I don't usually be the wife of the kid. Like, I like to listen to blah, blah, blah. And I pay for the Amazon music. So it's all there with the push of a button.
Right, yeah, that's the best way for it. Trying to think. Well, I definitely did have a question, because I know we'll probably have to wrap it up soon here, but, A question I had was, if you were able to talk to Mike Patton, who you love so dearly, I mean, I think you've had to talk to him. Have you met him at any point?
No. I've been within arm's reach twice.
Right.
But I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to talk to him. I could have, but it was one of those things where if I made an attempt to have a conversation and it turned out that he was a complete jerk.
You didn't want to do it.
It seemed like the better decision to just say screw it.
Right.
So there was some girl, a Sharpie to get something autographed. And I had it in my hand as I was, like, debating on whether or not to talk to him or not. And this girl was like, hey, can I borrow your Sharpie? And I gave her the thing I had to get signed. I'm like, here, can you get two autographs? You talk to him. She said, okay. So I have his autograph, and I know it's legit because I stood there and watched him. You know, it was him signing. It wasn't like I bought it off eBay or some crap.
Right.
But I just didn't want to do it because if he was an asshole to me, I would have been so mad.
All right, well, let's pretend right now that he's not an asshole. Let's say that he is, you know, the perfect guy. Everything that you ever hoped or dreamed he could be, like, you know, in person, as a person, whatever. What would you say to Mike Patton?
You know what? It would probably be the simplest thing. It would probably just be like, thanks for the entertainment over the last 27 years, 1990, I think I bought The Real Thing. The Real Thing came out in 89. I don't think I got on board right away. Mm-hmm. So for 20, No, 29 years.
Wow.
Ew. Ew, dude. Man. I feel old. Yeah, I wouldn't want to gush. I would, you know, I'd hate to be that guy. Be like, oh my God, what were you thinking when you decided to do Phantomas and you didn't do real vocals and you just kind of made these noises, like the combination of like scat jazz and heavy metal. Because I think I would probably just get ahead of myself and he'd look at me like, you're out of your mind. You've listened to this music way too much in your life. So I would think I would just keep it simple and say thanks. Thanks for the, you know, I think the guy's got the greatest voice, and to be able to not do like just one genre, to get into the metal and the thrash, the rock, the Italian music, the soundtracks, you know, all over the place. And it's cool because nowadays you don't see a lot of people do that. You know, people who say Dave Grohl's the busiest man in rock, which his catalog doesn't come anywhere close to what Patton did. But if you hear a song that Dave Grohl's involved with, you know it's a Dave Grohl song. You know, I could play you a song by Faith No More, Mr. Bungle, and Tomahawk, and they won't sound anything alike, even though it's the same singer that's got his hands in on that project.
Right. And that's just because, you know, it seems like he prides himself on being different, and that's... It's versatile.
Yeah, he didn't...
He's very, you know...
Yes. He didn't, you know, the guy thought... God, he was considered like a pinup when Epic was huge, and they probably could have rode that wave on the Surfer Boy look that he had going on. But the bands, you know, all the bands that he was involved with, they're like, nope, this is the music we want to make, and we're going to make it our way, and this is how it is. And you got to respect that. You know, again, these huge bands, and I hate to rag on Dave Grohl again, but you know, Grohl's just, he's in the system. And he just churns out rock album after rock album, and you know it's a Foo Fighters song, even though it's a quality song.
Right. It's cookie cutter.
Right. There's nothing new that he's doing. Yeah, Tomahawk, one of the albums they did called Anonymous. Mm. The guitar player got his hands on original Native American music. And he tweaked it a little bit. They gave it a rock sound to it. Mm. But you could still hear those roots in music that's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years old. Nobody else is doing stuff like that.
No.
And it's so, you know, it's so much fun to be like, oh God, what next? Is this going to be something that's easy to listen to? Am I going to be able to just sit down and hit play and ease back into it? Or am I going to get my ass kicked and my ears are going to be bleeding like the Dead Cross albums? You got a bunch of 50-year-old men doing thrash music. Like, that's just unbelievable to me. And you got, you know, like Mike Patton and Dave Lombardo in this band. Like, those guys could sit back and coast at this point, but they're still going out there and doing it, balls to the wall. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I have to thank you, too, because you have turned me on to a lot of great music over the years, over the past... But since 14, through Jacket Audio, yeah. I've you know, heard a lot thanks to you and Tony and what you guys bring to it. So
that's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. That's, you know, what we're trying to do.
Yeah, well, you succeed.
So, yeah, we could only get a little bit regular and maybe gain a little bit bigger of an audience. That would be fantastic. But
I mean, you're the 10... Well, I don't know if it's 10. It might be more for Mauritius, but that's right. Mauritius, yeah, that's it. Mauritius, yep. Yeah, that's your the huge following down there in that...
Our bread and butter.
Somebody's got to find the coordinates for that, because I'm very curious as to where it is.
I know if you're looking at a map,
uh-huh.
I forget exactly where, but if you're looking at a map of Africa, it's a little tiny island off to the right of the coast. But uh-huh. I can't remember now if it was like the northern part of Africa or the middle. Like, I can't. Yeah, that was a couple of years ago that I looked at it. But yeah, it's somewhere off the coast of Africa.
I wonder how much it would cost to fly there. Let's get on a plane and, you know.
Fine, that one.
Yeah, we'll fly there.
That Jacket Audio shirt.
Yeah. We can do, you know what? We can do Jacket Audio live from Mauritius. That's it. I'm on board. Let's do it. I'll be your opening act. I'll come out there. I'll open it. I'll be like.
For a show for two people?
Well. You never know. There might be 10 at least. Tony does say that there is a built-in audience of 10, maybe less, but I think 10 is the maximum. So I like to keep it on that high end, that high number.
Yeah, but they're not going to go on a trip to Mauritius to see anything stupid we do.
Well, yeah, but the Mauritius people themselves, I mean, you know.
That would be fun.
Yeah, we can.
Do you ever do anything else? Rabbit Red, do you ever do any shows anywhere? Everything,
no.
Just doing the studio.
We were going to. There was a movie, a horror movie that was made back in 2011, I think it came out. And we were in very good, me and my other co-host at the time, Vince, who originated Rabbit and Red. We were in good with these people. It was two cousins. The one guy wrote and directed it, and the other guy produced it. And we were like, and they finally got like a limited, like a theatrical screening thing at some theater in Jersey. And we were supposed to go to that theater and basically like intro the film, intro the director and the producer to talk, intro some of the cast or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And Vince at the time he did not want to do it. We showed up at the theater, and we were in there, and we were all ready to go. And they came to us before the movie started, and they said, okay. They said, you know, you guys, you're going to intro this, intro that, and whatever. What do you guys want to do? You know, it's whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And Vince looked at the guy and he says, well, you know, it's your movie. It's your night. We kind of don't want to intrude on that.
And that was that. Serious? You think he got cold feet?
Yes. I certainly think that he did. And I remember like going in the car that night. I'm like, actually that night we were invited to the after party at a local bar that was maybe like around the corner. And he didn't do that either. He's just like, we're just going to go. So we just left. Cause it was my ride. So, you know, and we're riding home. And I said, we were all set to do the intro and all that stuff for that movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, what happened? Why? It was their night. I didn't want to spoil their time. I didn't want to infringe on their time. I'm like, but they brought us here for that purpose. Yeah, but I didn't want to.
We let them.
Yeah,
I would like to see what like some of these people do for live podcasts. Like, I know, you know, Tom, Steve, Dave, I've seen like YouTube clips, and they just sit around and basically do what they do on a regular podcast episode. But a buddy of mine went to see. Oh God. Now the name escapes me, but at one of the local venues in Philly, The Union, no, it wasn't the Keswick, I think it was the Union Transfer.
Okay.
Went to see some live podcast. I'm like, at the Union Transfer? I'm like, did they do it on stage? He's like, yeah. I'm like, and I didn't, it wasn't a show that I had heard of, but that doesn't mean anything, but I'm like, wow, what did they do? And he's just like, I don't know, they just got up there and did their show. I'm like, you're not helping with the description. But I would love to know it. And then even Tony and I have a friend that we played softball with for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. He's got a podcast. They'll do shows from a bar, like a brewery bar place in like the Southampton, Huntington Valley area every once in a while.
Right.
And I want to say, every night that they do one at this place, I always have something going on. But I want to go and see what they do. Like, it would be, I don't know. I think it would be neat to try and expand it to something, to do something live, to see if, how that translates in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one time I saw Kevin Smith do his Q&A stuff at the Keswick. I forget when that was. It was a few years ago. And
was that for the movie, the cartoon, James and Bob's?
No, this was before that, I think. This was actually when Smodcast was first starting, I think.
Okay.
Because the way that it worked was, he did the Q&A, you know, like the normal Evening with Kevin Smith stuff would go. And then after that, he says, well, we're going to do a Jay and Silent Bob Get Old episode here for you right now. And he brought out Muse.
Oh, and you didn't. They didn't announce that at first?
Well, they
was that a surprise?
They said that something was going to go on, but I didn't know what it was. And at that time, I didn't know what Jay and Silent Bob Get Old was.
Yeah.
And, you know, they brought him out. I was like, this is, wow.
That's cool. That's very cool.
So, yeah, I'm all about the live stuff, too. It just adds something to it, you know, adds another level, another layer. It's good.
Yeah. Dude, my cousin saw Smith. She used to go to the University of Hartford. She graduated from there 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was. And she tried to get me to come up. I forget why I couldn't do it. It might even be longer, because I want to say I was dating my wife. I don't think we were married yet. But so anyway, you should come up. Kevin Smith's doing his Evening with. I thought I'd see what I could do. And I, for whatever reason, I didn't make it up there. So he was supposed to be there for 2 hours.
Right.
And he ended up talking for 5.5 hours.
Doubt it.
Yeah. Like, there wasn't a curfew. She's like, it was well after midnight. They just let him go. You know, the people that were working at the place, because it was on campus, the people that were working the auditorium had no problems with it. And he would check every once in a while. No, keep going. Yeah. 5.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that's him, though. I mean, he can just go off, and that's just, you know, that's one of the things I like about him, too. He can just, you know, he just goes, and he speaks from the gut, and it's just, you know, it's good.
It's always good. Okay? I don't know how you do it. After a while, I just feel like, my God, I'm getting bored of hearing myself speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we do this again sometime? Because
we're definitely going to do this again. So much that we didn't even touch on yet. So, yes, definitely. Yeah.
I know. We had at least 4 more things that we had talked about hitting we didn't get to. And there was a couple things that even the Michael Jackson thing was a last-minute thing. I had a couple other things I jotted down. I'm like, maybe we should touch on this or touch on that. Now, this is fun. Now, this is definitely way better than what I normally do when I'm sitting here. I mean, we're reading. We're going for a walk, and it sucks now because it's cold.
Yeah, you can't go for a walk in this weather. Holy, no way.
Now I'm over it. I work outside, too, so it's when I can escape the cold, I like to escape the cold.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, buddy. I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you again soon.
This is so much fun.
Time is Turbulence.
Boop, 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 boop.
Turbulence.
Ha 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 ha!